This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions and his followers until the day of judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, today I would like to speak to you about one of these phrases that we use, and they sound good and they definitely carry a lot of meanings which we agree upon, or sometimes we think it is true, but also it can be loaded with another false ideas and meant to promote an ideology that it is not correct from a common sense perspective and from the perspective of us as Muslims, as people who believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of the things that is interesting, the people always say ideology or ideas should be counter with ideas, which is obviously something correct. We all agree that ideas should be countered with ideas. You know, when somebody has an idea, we counter that by another idea. And there is no doubt there is truth to that. But sometimes that statement can be used to justify things which is not true and which is not correct. And obviously it is not. Some people use that to say no to the culture of no. So they say there is no such thing called no. You know, if you just want to oppose something, don't say no to it. Don't prevent it from happening. Just counter it with another idea. And that should be enough to counter that idea or to solve this problem. So if somebody has a wrong ideology or somebody have a wrong practice or wrong behavior or something wrong in society, it's enough for you just to counter with offering what is right and what's correct. and should be, you know, it. Obviously, this is only in the world of dreams. But the world of reality, that's not how it works. Because in reality, just countering a good idea with a bad idea with a good idea, or, you know, countering evil ideologies with just good, pure ideology is not enough to make society protected or to make life work. You know, that's why Sharia recognized the importance of countering ideologies with ideologies. Sharia understand that we must have that dialogue, that reasoning, that alternative. Yes, absolutely, it is one step to solve any wrong ideas, wrong understanding, wrong behavior, is to offer what is correct. But in the same time, Islam teaches us, and a common sense also teaches us, that also in the same time, while we're doing that, there must be prevention. There must be no's. There must be laws. There must be, you know, you're not allowed to that, and there's a consequences for your actions. And also there is a punishment for these questions, for these action that if it's taken. Stripping that away completely from the mindset of people leads to nothing but, in my opinion, disaster in society, in homes, and in countries at large. Yes. A Sharia, for example, we know that there is people who have no respect for women. So we came and tell them you have to have a respect for women. And we talk about the importance of culture of respect from the opposite gender and all this. But still, we have rules to say if there is a sexual harassment, there is a punishment for it. It's not enough just to say, hey, be a nice guy and be a gentleman. You have to say, you know what? No, it means no. You know, there is a Sharia came that al-ightisab, raping or accusing a chastened woman with adultery. And so all these things, there is rules and there is punishments for it in the Sharia. So it's not just the idea, you know what? So it's your idea and my idea and that's it. And we just live like that. Yes, that's part of it, but that's not it. That's not enough. You know, this idea is very interesting, actually. And I found it, people only really use it when it comes to the deen, when it comes to halal and haram. They don't use that in their daily life activity. They don't apply it in their societies, which is a secular society. But when you have a society that want to adopt Shara Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow the Sharia, that's when these things comes up. Hey, you cite a lot of, you know, this extreme liberal Muslim world keep saying to people, hey, don't make regulations and rules telling people don't drink. Don't just make rules and regulation tell people not to do that and not to, which is all the thing that the Sharia, for example, said no to it or prevented. You know, just talk to people about how bad drinking is and that's it. You know, it's interesting. Yes, we should talk to people about how bad drinking is, but also we make laws. You cannot drink if it's like for Muslims, as Muslim we believe that's not allowed to be done in public. This not be something that you can drink and go outside or drive or be out drinking openly. And it is haram. And there is a prescribed punishment for it. In our society here in America, we don't adhere to Sharia, but we have laws. You cannot drink and drive, for example. So there is certain rules and regulations. It's not enough to talk to people about, hey, by the way, driving while you're drinking is something bad. And you can take that as much as you, far as you want. That ideology manifested itself in many different ways. It's not enough to tell terrorists, you know, and people who have evil ideologies that believe in violence, you know, let's counter that with the culture of tolerance. And we don't have any laws to prevent such activity. You know, it's nice to be good to your family, but it doesn't mean that we should not have very clear rules and regulation to say, you know what, domestic violence is something you will be punished for it, and it's illegal. And, you know, abusing your children or abusing your wife will lead to 1, 2, 3. And many things. And, you know, it's nice to be honest, but it doesn't mean that, you know what, the people who cheat can go away with cheating. We don't do that in many ways in our life. So why, when it comes to the halal and haram, we just want to teach our kids, you know, don't tell your kids no. Don't say to your kids, you cannot do that. Just give them the other alternative. Yes, we give them the other alternative, that's true. But it's not enough. Also, there is no, and no, it means no. And haram, it means haram. And this is something should be built in the heart and the mind of people. And she should not be something that we are ashamed of. Or we think twice about it works or it doesn't work. There is a lot of things, you know, that we take that steps. And subhanAllah, interesting enough, in our society today, have you heard this whole entire discussion about the culture of canceling? You know, this whole debate that the country going in today. Are we supposed to allow people, for example, social media to promote and to do things which is, and see the word are carefully crafted for PR purpose, the culture of canceling, that make you feel so wrong about it. But if you want to maybe reword it, the culture of prevention, because we know that prevention better than cures. You know, an ounce of prevention is better than a ton of cures, if you want to say it even. So that's absolutely something that we all know about. But what about the concept of prevention? Yes, I'm not, by the way, going to into, don't put my khutbah in one of the two sides of the debate now. But the concept of, yes, we have a responsibility towards society to say no and to make preventions and to stop people who are promoting, you know, evil in society or can lead people to do what is wrong. Yes, that's absolutely something that our deen tell us and our common sense tell us. It is hard for people who don't have the guidance of Allah, the guidance of Quran, the guidance of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to see their ways or to draw the line in such matters. Because they're always going to be based on common sense. But as, alhamdulillah, one of the good things also in our country here, which is something we're so blessed to have, that we have a lot of good common sense. A lot of people have good common sense. And also we have a lot of people who still have شيء من بصيص النبوة واحترام الدين. There is a lot of a culture of faith and religiosity and the Judeo-Christians, you know, foundations of this culture is still bring a good, you know, elements. But as we know, it's by the day vanishing. By the day, there is a war against these two. So you can't feel today, it's not common sense are not common anymore, especially in our politicians today, among our politicians today. Anyway, another manifestation for this, people telling you, no. Don't say no. Don't say no to your kids and to your children, to people. Because كل ممنوع مرغوب. Everything you say no to it, people will be even more excited about it. You know, people want it more. Anything you say no to it, people will be more interested in it. You know, I'm not going to argue that this can be the case in certain areas, in certain times. But I will argue that this is just a general rule. That's not true. Not everything you said no to it, I'm interested in. You know, we're not anxiously at every traffic light waiting to break the law and to just go to break the red light. And not allowed to go while it's the red light. You know, that doesn't make us we want to break the law. When it doesn't make us, you know, anxiously want to necessarily to do the thing that we know it is bad or wrong. I agree that everything you said no to it, if you don't explain the reason behind it, the evil of it, the consequences of it, it will be maybe people interested, the curiosity will lead them to do. But to make the general rules, that's not the reality. That's not how human beings are. And by the way, it does not increase. The countries who take a strict laws to prevent smoking, the smoking rate dropped tremendously in America. It did not make people more interested in smoking because it was a very intelligent campaign to educate people about it. Why and what's the dangers of it? And many examples like that. Otherwise, when we say al-dhulm, injustice and stealing and killing, haram, that increase our wrong or don't do it, that increase the number of people who want to practice such things? The answer is absolutely no. I'm always, Yani, I don't know what it is, But why we're so picky when it comes to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ahkam Allah, and when we put all these, you know, big statements and question mark and questioning them, but when it comes to the rule of the countries and laws and man-made things, oh, we take it for granted. We don't raise this kind of shubuhat in regard to it. As of human beings, who are human beings' laws and human beings' ideas are much better and higher than the ideas and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the most merciful. He is the most knowledgeable. He is the most expert, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, in this discussion, there is something I can't just leave without mentioning it. People come and say, hey, Sheikh, or hey, especially in the Muslim world, and you see this argument also about the country who tried to follow Islamic laws and guidance and stuff like that. People will come and tell you, hey, those who live in urban society, more religious than those who live in society controlled by rules. You know that your kids, if you give them the absolute freedom, they may be going to be more religious than the people who their father and mother telling them halal and haram and rules and stuff like that. Look at the Muslims in America. Sheikh, we are much better than the Muslims overseas. Let me tell you, you're kidding yourself and you're deceiving yourself by saying that. Sorry to hit it in our face. That's not true. We're good. We might, and some of us may be much better than so many people overseas. But Habibi, don't look at the 2-3% who come to the masjid from the Muslim community. The people that you see in Jumu'ah and Eid, that's 5% of the Muslim community. 10%. There's no doubt that Islam, it's a strength and its root. It will be always in the Bilad al-Islam. There's no doubt that this individual here much better. But the amount of ignorance about the deen, it's unmatched. The weakness, the things that you see. And that's not true. Tell me about it as an imam. I can tell you how many father and mother in a large quantity of people who their parents, their children completely lost. I mean, left Islam, you know, completely left the religion. It's because they never cared. There is no rules. You know what's the worst? You might say, Sheikh, but also there is religious people. Maybe their children can go astray. Yes, can be kafir. But you know what's the difference? You know what the difference? If Allah forbid one of my children became like that, I can go to bed resting, and from one perspective, that I did my part, and I tell them what's halal haram. And I will not be responsible. But you would not, if you never told them what's right and what's correct, what's wrong. And by the way, I'm talking about, you put rules, you know what? In my rules, no drinking alcohol in my house. You want to drink, drink outside. You're an adult. But in my rule, that's haram, that's not allowed. You know, you're still minor. I sign for you. I'm responsible. So you know what? Watching these kind of TVs is not allowed. Putting your foot down and saying that, it's not weakness. That's a responsibility. And it doesn't make the people hypocrites. You guys building hypocrisy. Because you know what? Your daughter put hijab in front of you, but behind your back, she take off her hijab. I understand hypocrisy means you show something behind, different, but just let us recognize what's the definition of hypocrisy. The definition of hypocrisy in Sharia al-Islam, not according to my culture and your culture and your understanding, hypocrisy is to show Islam and to have in your heart kufr, yani disbelief. And I can tell you 99% of the people who behave this way, from sisters and brothers who might pray in front of you, but you don't pray while they're around you, they don't have inside their heart kufr. They're just lazy. So to call that hypocrisy is not even a right definition. But all this assuming that the only thing we should do is no, 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 and rules and no. That's part of it. But also a big part is to tell them why, is to make them love it, is to make them understand the reason behind it. You know, is to connect their hearts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I prefer to encourage my son to pray 20 times, 20% of the time, than just leave him and he pray 100% nothing. I prefer my daughter to know the hijab. And I don't make her hate it, but I encourage her, inspire her. But if she became an adult, by the way, you their choice become. And we have to understand that. In the end, I just want to say that this is a fine line that you need to walk. And you need to balance yourself. And a little bit I came to tilt it to the other side because I believe we have too much talking about, just be nice, just explain. That's too much of that. But we don't have people talk also sometimes and we take to the other side, which is, you know what, rules are rules. In Western culture, it became, there's no rules, especially when it comes to Allah. That's why the Ten Commandments of God, that every Jewish and Christian believe in it, I suggest they should to change it to a 10 recommendation. Because nobody treated it as commanded. It took away from it that's we should not ever allow to have in our religion. I hope we look into this in more nuance and more open mind. And there's a lot of these points can be used because we are living in America, but also used to this, who always talk and raise doubt about applying Sharia in society or rules of Islam in Muslim society in Muslim countries. They accuse them by being hypocrites, being this. And the reality, it's not. The reality is we all adhere to certain rules at one form or another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arzuqna wa iyaakum al-fahma fi al-deen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad aqulu ma sami'tum wa astaghfirullah. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu as-salatu was-salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu. I want to end up with two points. And if these are the only two points you can remember from my khutbah today, I'm happy. We have always to remind ourselves, our children, our family, that we are servants of Allah. نَحْنُ عَبِيد لِلَّهِ. We like it or we don't. We want it or we don't. The reality is, أنت إما تكون عبد باختيارك أو بقهرك. Allah created you. And you are a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means that we submit ourselves to Allah azza wa jal and to follow His commands and rules. Why? For two reasons, remember them. Reason number one, because whatever Allah legislate, whatever Allah order, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, it is in it our success, our happiness, our rest in the dunya and the akhirah. There is nothing in the Sharia, nothing in the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever against our best interest. It is in your best interest. There is nothing in Sharia that Allah said, no matter how hard it looks like to you, it is in the best for you, in this life and the next. And don't ever forget about the next. In this life and the next. وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ يريد الله أن يخفف عنكم وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا والله واسع عليم. All these verses talk about Allah wants nothing for us but the best. Forgiveness, guidance, happiness, all good. Number two, if you don't submit yourself to Allah, you will submit yourself to someone else. If you're not a servant of Allah, you're a slave of someone else. And that one else, it could be your desires. And we know how society will be, how life will be, will just follow desires. Or to the shaitan, or to some other human beings who you will be slave to. It is your choice. You choose either Allah or other than Allah. And you just think about it this way. Simple as this. That's why we worship Allah. That's why we submit to the rules of Allah. For these two reasons. We can make more, but I think two good enough. I hope that concept will be embedded in our children's and our minds while we always hear what Allah said and what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live in happiness and goodness and end our life in goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put His mercy and forgiveness on all those who passed away. We have our friends and family and community members who passed away last night and today will be buried. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness of her and of all of those who passed away from our family member and to protect all of us from all kind of diseases. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا واكرم نزلنا اللهم توفنا وارحمنا اللهم توفنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا وصلي اللهم على نبينا محمد وقوموا للصلاة يرحمكم الله.